Hey everybody, welcome back. I apologize to our subscribers and visitors. Of course, our Living Faith family would know, but I apologize if I failed to tell you that we wouldn't have our online service for a few weeks. So forgive me for that, for not keeping you updated with that. But I pray for those who are visitors and you're not a part of our Living Faith family. I hope you enjoyed your holidays and that your new year has gotten off to a great start. Amen. Well, tonight is the last Wednesday of the month, so therefore it's healing school. So we're going to be looking at the scriptures as far as healing is concerned. But before that, I do have some announcements, all right? Our monthly Bible study that we have in person, that we've been having in person last year, February, we will resume. There'll be no February in-person Bible study. I wanted to put it that way. And then we'll resume in March, and we're going to be studying the book of Acts. So that'll be in person Thursday evenings from 7:30 to 8:30. So bring your Bibles, ink pen, notepad, whatever you do to take notes, and get ready to dive in to the book of Acts. Also, the Heirs Together Marriage Ministry, we're excited. You're invited to join them for our Valentine's Night fun-filled movie night on Friday, February 14th, at 7:30 p.m. in our fellowship hall. Enjoy a cozy evening with your sweetheart, complete with a captivating movie, delicious popcorn, sweet treats, and refreshing drinks. Amen. By faith, I'll be there next year. I won't be there for Valentine's this year, but by faith, I'm going to be there next year in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just saying. Also, the cost is $15 per couple. Please register by Sunday, February 9th, on our website at www.lfccnj.com. Escape the ordinary and create lasting Valentine's Day memories with your beloved. Gen Next Youth Ministry meets every second and fourth Sunday of the month and it takes place during service, our 10 a.m. worship service in Salon 4. This service is open, of course, to all youth from 7th grade to 12th grade. And last but not least, our Epic Young Adult Ministry will be meeting directly after service in Salon 4 on Sunday, February 16th. All young adults between the ages of 18 to 30 are invited to attend. All right, everybody. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Father, we thank you that you called yourself in Exodus 15, 26. You said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." You always have been, you always will be. Father, we thank you that because we are your body, that we are your sons and daughters, and we are inheritors of the blessing. We are inheritors of your divine healing that is available to us 24/7. Father, I pray that you would bless this Bible study and Holy Spirit. I need you every second, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to be sharing the word, sharing some scriptures, and I entitled it, Lord, Help My Unbelief. And so I'm really targeting those of you who are currently experiencing sickness and disease in your body, and you've been having challenges, you haven't seen your healing yet, but healing, we as believers, we have to understand that God already did everything. He already put everything in place. Everything that we would ever need under the sun has already been provided for us, and that includes healing. And so we don't have to work for healing. We don't have to beg for healing. We don't have to be good enough for healing. Healing is already a done deal. It was prophesied in Isaiah 53. When Jesus showed up on the scene and he died on the cross, and with his stripes, we were healed. Healing is a done deal for the believer. Amen. Of course, it comes by faith. So we're going to look at a story real quick at a man who desired healing for his son. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14. And it says, "And when he came to his disciples," talking about this is Jesus in verse 14. "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?'" Verse 17, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him." Talking about the spirit was in, just controlling his son. "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." They could not. "He answered him and saith, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.'" Now, we can take notice that this father brought his son to the disciples. Now, a disciple was a student, was a follower of a teacher. So he brought his son to the disciples thinking, well, surely if they're Jesus' disciples and Jesus can cast out devils, surely these disciples could help my son. But when he said here clearly, he said, "I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Verse 19, "He answered him and saith, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.' And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him," or he threw him around, convulsed him, "tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming." Okay? "And he asked his father," Jesus asked the father, he said, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." Now, I want us to take notice. And, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Jesus talks about all the things that are under the blessing when you obey God. And then there's the section of Deuteronomy 28 that explains the things that could happen, will happen, when they didn't obey God and keep his commandments. And one of those things is that the blessing, of course, was you would be healed, you would walk in health. The other side, when they didn't obey God, and let's see if I wrote that down. Deuteronomy 28:59, it's talking about plagues. And it says, "Plagues of long continuance and sore sickness and of long continuance." In other words, that they would suffer sickness and disease, right? And sickness and disease, they would suffer them for a long time. And again, I'm encouraging tonight those of you who have been suffering from sickness and disease for a long time. And when you suffer from an ailment for a long time, there's a lot of time in that long time that you can be challenged. We can be challenged in thinking that maybe God doesn't want to heal me. In other words, you're looking at this thing for so long that you start to lose your faith. You start to become weary. You lose hope. And when Jesus asked this man, he said, "How long has your son been like this?" And he said, "Of a child." Now, it doesn't say how old this child is, but apparently the father saw his son being in this condition. He was possessed by this devil for years. And so in verse 22, it says, "And oftentimes they cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now we're talking about Lord, help my unbelief. And verse 23, and Jesus said unto him, let me go back to 22. It says, but if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if you can, all things are possible to him that believes. So what am I saying? I'm saying that even when a sickness is difficult, even when a sickness is long, it's a long continuance, you've had it for a long time. Perhaps you've inherited from your parents, right? Or something happened when you were young and it's still there. But Jesus encouraged him. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out. Now this was Jesus' answer to him. If you can believe, all things are possible. So he's encouraging the father, right? Who came to them, the man wants his son to be healed, right? That's the first part of it, is to have a desire to be healed, right? And that desire causes you to move. It causes you to take action. So it caused this man to bring his son, find the disciples, then finally find Jesus to address this thing because he wanted his son free. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Isn't that interesting? Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now, this was, you know, the Bible says that God, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, this father, so apparently this father had been watching his son. He was frustrated. Nobody can heal this man but Jesus. And so he was frustrated. He was watching his son. And to him and to everybody else, even to us, this was a hard case. This was a hard case. And so the man was being honest with Jesus. Now, I'm encouraging those of you who are struggling with disease and sickness in your body. And, so it's been working and wearing on you. And so he admits, he says, Lord, I believe. In other words, that's why I'm here. That's why I brought my son. That's why I'm standing in front of you now. He said, I believe, but I need some help with my unbelief. Because he had, first of all, they had never seen a person delivered from this. And so that in itself would make something seem too hard. But he said, I believe, that's why I'm here. I heard about you. And but I've got, there's still a part of me that is not believing. I'm having difficulty. Now, let's see, where do I want to go next? So he said, help thou my unbelief. Now the word unbelief, now of course we compare unbelief to belief, right? Unbelief means disbelief. It means weakness of faith. It can even mean faithless, right? So he said, Lord, I believe. Now, the word believe means to think to be true. So this father, he thought to be true. He had heard about Jesus, right? And how he was healing people. And so he thought it to be true that Jesus could heal. And the word belief, it means to be persuaded of. It also means to place confidence in God, right? And so this man said, Lord, I believe. I think it to be true. You know, I guess part of him was hoping it to be true. He said, but I admit, help my unbelief. So he was he was trusting, totally trusting in the mercy of God. Now, a couple commentaries said the father of the boy had doubts about Jesus' ability to heal his son. Then another commentary said the father had doubts regarding Jesus' willingness to heal. Now, Jesus, he covered that. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him believe. Another scripture, it says, Jesus told the man, he said, this is impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible, right? So I think that Jesus was clearing things up. Now, when Jesus talks about the word possible, that word possible, it means doable. And so the man had doubts whether Jesus could do it, whether he could actually heal his son. Maybe he thought maybe he can heal his son partially, or heal him of one thing. You know, I'm sure he had other issues. If the spirit tossed him around, he was probably beat up, bruised, cuts, you know, all those types of things. And the point is, the father, he humbled himself before Jesus and he said, Lord, help my unbelief. So I believe that when, you know, if we're suffering sickness and disease, sometimes it seems difficult. Maybe we're not, we just need help. And I believe, I just want to encourage you tonight to believe the Lord. Just ask the Lord, say, Lord, I'm struggling with this a little bit. And I need you to help the part of me that's struggling, and that, Lord, you would help my unbelief, right? And the word help, of course, it means aid. The man admitted that he needed some aid. He needed some help with the part of him, you know, the soulish part of him. His mind was thinking, this boy, this is a hard case. My son, you know, my son will probably be like this for the rest of his life. And so he needed some help. He needed some assistance. And I believe that God will do the same thing for us. Now, we have to have belief. The man said that he believed, but there's a part of me, the part of me that's been watching my son for years, the part of me that's frustrated, the part of me that has no money. I've been to the doctors. The part of me that has to make special accommodations for my son and how he lives wild and is uncontrollable. You know, all those things, they are costly. You have to make special arrangements for these things. But he simply asked the Lord, I believe. Now, that was an admission, and Jesus honored that. He said, but Lord, I need you to help the part of me that is struggling. Amen. Somebody say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help the part of me that is struggling with, you know, different thoughts and frustrations. Again, if you've been suffering from something of long continuance, I mean, that thing is just beating you down. But just like Jesus told this man, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, let me stop losing my place. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. Now, I believe Jesus saw the neighborhood coming. Once the neighborhood would show up, they were going to start rehearsing everything. Yeah, that boy is crazy. Yeah, he jumped in the river. He jumped in the fire. You know, all these things. And they would have just brought a whole bunch of doubt. So when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Verse 26, and the spirit cried and rent him sore, or he thrashed him around. You know, the devil, he don't want to come out. He thinks our house is his house. But no, it's our house, right? And especially for us as believers. Now, this person wasn't born again, but we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. There's no room. There's no room. No room. Put a sign on our bodies and say, devil, there's no room for you to occupy in my temple, in my body. No, no. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Wow. So he was like passed out. We've seen people passed out under the spirit, and that's the time to just let the Holy Spirit operate on the person. You know, just leave them alone. God's doing something. And so they thought he was dead, in so much that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Amen. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind comes forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now in Matthew chapter 17, here's another take on this situation. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse 20. And it says, now again, these were Jesus' disciples, and people expected them to be able to heal. One of my points tonight is, we're disciples. To me, it makes so much sense for us to learn how to receive divine healing for ourselves, because we are the ones who Jesus has called as his disciples to go heal other people. And I like to use the scripture in the Old Testament that says, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. If Jesus has called you and I to go out and to minister to people, to lay hands on the sick so that they can recover, we're being instruments, we're being Jesus' arms, legs, hands. And so we, forgive me for putting it this way, then I look at it as we deserve to be healed. Now, I'm using that word very lightly, of course. Everything that we receive, God has given to us, and we get it by receive it by grace. And so, let me put it this way. We, of all people, first should be healed ourselves. Learn how to receive healing, divine healing. That means the power of God, the anointing of God, coming into our bodies, kicking out sickness and disease, kicking out anything that's malfunctioning, fixing anything that's abnormal, fixing, strengthening anything that's weak in our bodies or has attacked our bodies or our minds. This man was demon-possessed. We need to be healed. We have to remember, Lord, if I'm going to do what you've called me to do, right, then I need to be healed. When I go lay hands on the sick, I need to already know that you heal, right? And that he is the healer, and that's our assignment. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 19, this is the same story, so I'm going to skip down to 19, but one, this is Matthew's account. The other one is Mark's account. They both walk with Jesus. They both saw the same incidents of healing. And verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? In other words, how long should I train you? How long do I have to walk in front of you and demonstrate my power and authority that I'm giving to you to go out and do the same thing? And so he called them faithless and perverse. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Just like in the book of Mark. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Look, plain and simple, God has called us to believe, to be believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. We're called to be believers. So that means you and I are going to have to, renew our minds regarding divine healing, renew our minds regarding sickness and disease. We have to understand, renew our minds to know that sickness and disease is just not our portion. That it's never, the sickness and disease for us, it's never appropriate. Jesus didn't even think it was appropriate for people who weren't his disciples. He just came, he was so, Jesus was so looking forward to healing people because sin opened the door, right, to sickness and disease. And the heart of God loves people and he loves us. And it is not his will for people to suffer from sickness and disease. And we know from the scriptures that he himself bore our sicknesses, he bore our sins, right? And with his stripes, we were healed. Now, I just briefly, you know, looked up the fact that stripes in the Bible is associated with punishment. So stripes are associated with punishment. So in other words, Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24, they are expressing, the scriptures are telling us that Jesus was punished for us so that we could walk in health, so that we could receive healing for any sickness and disease that would attack our bodies, right? And so he took the stripes. Stripes was for punishment. He took our punishment, and with those stripes, with that beating, he healed us. We were healed. So it's ours. Amen. Somebody say, Lord, help my unbelief. So it doesn't matter how hard the sickness is. Jesus told the Father, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So you and I, without being dramatic, without waiting for some type of feeling or anything, we just have to believe, and belief comes through trust in God. We use our faith. Again, belief means to think to be true. So we have to think that the word of God is true when he talks to us about divine healing. Okay, so just like those disciples, Jesus said, you couldn't do like I did with that boy because of your unbelief, because of your disbelief, right? So we have to faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing by the word of God, so that we can get rid of any disbelief. It means weakness of faith. We need to strengthen our faith, right? And it means to be faithless. Unbelief means to be faithless. And we don't want to do that. And so somebody say, Lord, help my unbelief. Now I want to pray with you all. But before I do that, I just want to share some examples. And then I'm going to pray and we're gonna close out. So Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals a leper. When he's come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him. This is Matthew chapter 8. If I didn't, I may have said that. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand in verse 3 and touched him, saying, what? I will. So Jesus said, I will that you be healed. That's my will. Jesus went about healing. There was even a time where Jesus was disappointed. He was in a familiar town. He was in his town. The people, where they were familiar with him. They lived down the street from him, lived down the road from him. And they say, isn't this the Mary's son? Isn't his brother John, and, you know, named his family? And so they got too familiar. And so it says, and so there it says Jesus could do there no mighty works, because of the people's unbelief. And he said, a prophet is not even welcome in his own home. He's not honored in his own home. And so it's interesting that Jesus was disappointed. Said he could do there no mighty works. Jesus wants to work miracles. He wanted to do more than lay hands on a few sick folk. Amen. And again, just to confirm that sickness and disease That's not, Jesus wants to get rid of it. He wants us, you and I, to annihilate it, right? He wants us, Jesus wants us, just like him, to undo, untie all that the devil has done, right? To clean up what sin did as far as sickness and disease. So in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals a leper. That's hard. That was incurable. Okay, and this is just to encourage you. Lord, help my unbelief. So we're trying to get the unbelief out, okay? So I'm trying to encourage you. Then there was, in verse 5, a centurion's servant was healed. He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, verse 6. And that means he was paralyzed. He was paralyzed. He couldn't move, and he says he was grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. Of course, the stories demand, the centurion said, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And it says that the man's servant was healed that very hour. And then there's here in verse 14, Peter's mother-in-law was healed. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, right? We can rebuke our own fever. Say, fever, in Jesus' name, I command you, I call you 98.6 in the name of Jesus. I command this body, to cool down. I command all the fluids in the body to be perfectly balanced. In Jesus' name, I rebuke virus right now in the name of Jesus. And so he healed people of a fever, of the palsy. He healed a leper. You know, he went about healing. He healed, in verse 28, he healed the demoniacs, too possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs. They lived in the tombs, crazy people, right? Jesus healed them. Then he healed another paralyzed man in chapter 9. So time after time, Jesus healed people. He healed people. And so we just have to get rid of any doubt, right? And even, you know, tonight I'm talking about just asking the Lord to help with your unbelief. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just, right now, we some of us realize tonight that we have had unbelief. We've had belief for our healing or the healing of our children, our spouses. And we know we have belief, but there's been some unbelief mixed in there. It's been lingering. And Lord, tonight we ask you in Jesus' name, just like you had mercy on this father with his son, Lord, help our unbelief. Help our unbelief, Lord, and we look to you. We trust you. We confess in Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, Lord, in Jesus' name, regarding our sickness and disease, ailment, no matter whether it's been of long continuance or short continuance, Lord, we thank you for helping our unbelief tonight. And so therefore, in Jesus' name, by faith, we receive healing into our bodies right now in the name of Jesus by faith. Lord, I believe. Come on, say that. Say, Lord, I believe. And Lord, I receive my healing in Jesus' name. I receive healing. Now, I always tell you, lay hands on yourself. Lord, I receive healing in my body against sickness, disease, viruses, attacks, parasites, paralysis, kidney disease, heart disease, lung disease, liver disease, muscle disease, nerve disease, in the name of Jesus. What else? What else? All of our organs, we receive healing for our organs, our reproductive organs. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we believe and we thank you for helping, for helping any unbelief that we may have had before tonight. And we believe that we receive. That means I take it. Come on, somebody, take your healing. Take your healing now in Jesus' name. Come on, the Lord hates sickness and disease. He wants no part of it. So he wants us to have no part of it. He doesn't want us to suffer for it. He doesn't want us to have to deal with it because he already handled it. He took the punishment by his stripes just as surely as we've been forgiven of all of our sins and iniquities. We believe now in Jesus' name that we receive healing, your divine healing for all our diseases. And we thank you for it. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm healed. I'm healed from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed, which means I am healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, go back and read these scriptures. Get your healing. Believe God for your healing. And then let me know about it. Amen. I would love to hear your testimony. All right. I love everybody. I'll see you next week. Bye.